Here we are once again. It's the news according to me. Well, yes, it is the news. That's according to me. It's the news. Lots of news. Now, last week I went through the list of things that are going on, and it's quite long. There's a long list of things in this news cycle. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. But most importantly, this morning, I am, I'm sure all of you want to know. You're hanging on the edge of your seats because you need to know what's happening here in the booth. I met my home studio this morning because I got up late. So I do have to go into my office, but I'm here at the home studio and the cat is locked out. The cat will not be bouncing around the booth this morning, adding a little bit of drama to the show. He's the next best thing to the TNA to me singers, but he's not going to be here. I'm sipping on some hot tea that is fortified with lots of nutrients like sugar. Highly refined processed sugar, by the way, and the real stuff. And I have honey in there as well. And just a splash of liquefied coconut oil for my heart. It's there to help wash down the sugar. Since I've been drinking, I drink tea. I usually put in about a teaspoon or so of maybe a little more, maybe 1.5 to 2 teaspoons of liquefied coconut oil. For many years, I had my blood checked every year. Don't worry, I'm not violating any HIPAA laws here because it's my HIPAA. I'm talking about my HIPAA. You know what they say, once you get my age and you fall down and you hurt your HIPAA, never the same. I started drinking this tea. I was putting liquefied coconut oil in the expensive stuff. Stuff's like $50 a quart or something. I don't know. That's some ridiculous amount of money. I don't know. No, it's not that much. It's just, it just seems like it. I wouldn't want to have to fill my car tank with it. However, it might be cheaper than gasoline here shortly. I'm not sure how things are going to go. But I started doing that. I used to get my blood checked every year for my insurance. Insurance required me to get blood work done. I think it was every year or every other year. For some reason, I got it done every year. I think it was because I got a discount on my insurance or something. And what do they call it? The triglycerides and the good stuff and the bad stuff, the stuff that they test. I was really low on the good stuff and always really high on the bad stuff. And it was always really close. But my doctor was smart. He was one of those smarter doctors that understood that If it's normal for you, then it's probably just normal for you. And we take these things that we call normal in medicine. It's based on the average person. Well, there's no such thing as an average person. And whatever, wherever your normal is, I mean, there are some people whose normal body temperature is not 98.6. Sometimes it's a little lower, sometimes a little higher. That is their normal temperature. It's just the way their body functions. And unfortunately, some doctors don't recognize that. We've got to put you on a pill to get you normal. And that doesn't work. Well, anyway, I started drinking this stuff and putting this stuff in my tea. And my numbers did change a little bit. It was the only thing I could see in my diet that I had changed because I still kept eating, all the good stuff I always eat. I eat nothing but the best fried foods. I get my cheese curds at Culver's, which is a higher quality cheese curd. And no, this is not a, I don't get paid by Culver's. This is a non-sponsored review of Culver's. I eat fish and I eat all kinds of other things too, but the fried fish, you know, the breaded fried fish sandwich, high quality stuff. And I drink a lot of sweet tea. I don't drink a lot of soda. I bet I don't even have a Coke or a Pepsi probably more than once a month. Something like that. And I'm the picture of health. No, I'm doing okay. So my numbers did change a little bit though, and the only thing I can attribute it to is because I was drinking about every day. I used to drink sweet hot tea every morning. Somewhere in there, I don't know what happened. For some reason, I went through a little spell there where I think it was like 0 degrees outside, and I didn't have any tea for a little while. I started drinking hot chocolate. And hot chocolate kind of became my thing. I started drinking hot chocolate with, and I used to drink chai tea as well, but so I started drinking hot chocolate. I put creamer in it. Because this is important stuff for you guys to know. I hope you realize, you know, we're 7 minutes into this show, and so far I have said nothing. Now think about this. On most radio broadcasts, most radio shows, and I did this for a reason. I didn't start out doing this for a reason, but I'm going to use this as an example. There's a lot of radio programs out there, and I won't mention any name, but some of them, like, let's for instance, one of them rhymes with Sean Hannity, and he's the first 6 minutes or sometimes 10 minutes of his broadcast. Well, first of all, the show doesn't even start until 5 or 6 after the hour because, you know, you got the local news that has to come on, and then they have, you know, national news, local news, and then the bumper starts in with all the music and the and then they have the sound bites that go on for about 5 minutes. And then he has, you know, 10 minutes of actual show time when he actually speaks about something, usually repeating what he said the day before. And then we go to a commercial. And that goes on for about 5 or 6 minutes. And then right before the end of the half hour, there's a quick one-minute note of what's coming up the next half hour. And then we have another 6 minutes of advertisements and news, which comes back with the bottom of the hour bumper, which is usually different. They have a top of the hour bumper and a bottom of the hour bumper. And that goes on for a while. So in that 1 hour, you get about 15 minutes of actual content from the show. This is typical of most radio shows. If you pay attention, somehow they're able to keep your attention, keep you on the dial by playing. And a lot of radio shows do this. I'm not just talking about just Hannity. But his is the most, in my opinion, it's the most obvious. And it's not that I don't like Hannity. I just don't like listening to Hannity. So I had, there's this other guy. Is it Art Bell? I think Somewhere in Time or whatever it is. It's on it really late at night. Middle of the night. Somewhere in Time. And he does the same thing. He'll play a song, a whole bunch of commercials, then he'll come on and he'll actually talk a commercial. Like he'll do his own, you know, they call it an ad lib, where he just reads this thing. It's live, talks about LifeLock or something, goes on and on about that. And speaking of LifeLock, there's a lot of these companies out there that offer you security. I'm really skeptical. I mean, is it just me? I'm skeptical about all those companies that do that. These like, and even the VPNs. I guess because I don't have a VPN, I don't run one myself. I don't have a business called VPN. To me, it just seems like you're, you know, you think you're getting away with something because what a VPN is, it's a proxy, basically. So you know, your computer has an IP address. Every computer has its own unique IP address when they get on the internet. And that IP address can be changed, by the way. So let's say you sign on someplace, and if they want to track what your activity, that IP address tracks everything you're doing and every place you're going. And then that IP address gets tagged with, you know, certain things, and that's the part of the computer, that's the part of you, who you are, like what you've looked. That's how you get pop-ups for advertisements for things you've been shopping for on Amazon or Google or someplace online. The next thing you know, you get a pop-up ad for the thing you've been looking for. What's really creepy, here's what's really creepy. I don't get too deep in the weeds in this stuff, but if you just have your phone with you and you're talking about something with a friend, about buying a log splitter, and you're yakking about log splitters, you're not even on your phone. You're not talking on the phone. The phone is just there. And the next thing you know, get a pop-up for log splitters. Now, keep in mind, right now, if I say, hey, you know who, my iPad and my iPhone and probably even my iMac sitting here in front of me will respond and say, what you want? What do you want now? I think you said you want to go to China. I don't know. I think you said you wanted to buy, you know, 3,000 pounds of cardboard. We just purchased 3,000 pounds of cardboard for you. Your account balance is negative TOR. So it's not, it's this weird thing of, you know, it's got the phone, my point is, the phone and the iPad and the iMac, they're all listening to you all the time. Because they're waiting for that cue. It doesn't just hear you when you say that. It's hearing you all the time, just in case you say that. And sure, you can turn off Siri. You can turn it off. How do you know it's not still listening? What if I said, hey, you know, I don't want to say it because if you're listening to this on your radio or on without your headphones on, and your iPhone is sitting right there, or your iPad is sitting there, it'll call up. it might actually recognize. You know, my voice might sound enough like yours, whatever. But if you say that and say, hey, turn on, you know, Shree, that's all I'm going to say. I mispronounce it on purpose. What? Will it do that? Probably would. So anyway, I use it. I have it on. I use it. But if I want to talk about something I don't want anybody to hear, I just don't talk about it. It never comes out of my mouth because they're listening. They're out there and they're listening. It's, oh yeah, it's creepy. It's just creepy, you know. I'm just going to say it what it is. It's just creepy.
How dare you?
Yeah, it's creepy. So, that's what Siri usually tells me. That's what she responds when I ask a question. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the news. And where was I going? I was going down a road somewhere there. I probably just lost my... You guys are probably waiting for me to finish what I was talking about, and it's not going to happen because now I'm off on something else. But welcome to the show. No, thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing and subscribing. and giving me your attention here for this next 4 hours of my show. It won't be 4 hours. 4 hours worth of content in less than an hour. That's what you get. That's what you get with this show, because there's no sponsor. There's no advertisements. Just me and a microphone. And some sweet tea. The they had an interesting, I saw an interesting conversation with this guy who was out on the street in Canada. There's some interesting stuff going on in Canada. Canada does not have exactly the same kind of, you might say, constitution that we do here in the United States. They have some similar rights, but they don't have the Bill of Rights the way we do. And the authorities that be have a tendency to take advantage of that. Now, this one guy was out in the street, and apparently in Montreal, there was a, I think it was in Montreal, someplace in Canada. This guy was out at the mass vaccination center. In other words, they were able to accept people just off the street, come on in, vaccinate everybody. And nobody was there. This guy was standing in front of the building, and nobody was coming in. It was like nobody, there wasn't a line. He was there most of the day. Hardly anybody came in there. There were many times when he was just sitting there, just the place was empty. And so he was out on the street asking people if they, you know, if they were in town that day to get their vaccination. And of course, everybody was saying no. A lot of people said they weren't. They weren't trusting it. A lot of interesting comments about what was going on. And I won't get into all that. But one of the things he got into conversation with this one guy was, you know, he goes, well, you know, in 2020, he started asking people this question. He started saying, what was the number one killer in 2020? Well, everybody started saying COVID. Everybody just assumed it was COVID. And, you know, with the way the news is, you would think that's, you know, 500,000 people died in the last year. No, we never ran a running total for the flu. It was always seasonal. And they never had a ticker down below in the corner. This is how many people have died from the flu this year, this season. They do that with COVID. And the numbers, if you watch it, if you track this stuff at all, the numbers are really out of whack in the rate that they go up and down. And then the numbers that they say are over a 7-day period, the average numbers, and then the numbers that actually are added to the total are even wrong. There's something wacky going on there with that. Again, it just comes back to this whole thing of I don't trust these people. They just, you know, you lie to me once to get a point across because the end justified the means. Well, we had to protect the frontline workers. And, okay, why didn't you just tell us that? Why didn't you just come out and say, right now we're not recommending anybody wear a mask unless you want to make your own mask because the frontline workers really need masks right now. So we're diverting PPE for that purpose. Okay, that would have been an honest statement, and the vast majority of Americans, just like when they were told to stay home from work for two weeks just to flatten the curve, we did that. We complied. And then you turn around and say, oh, now you have to wear a mask. Oh, now you want, well, just another layer. You might want to wear two masks because, you know, another layer just makes sense. So what is it? And what if you were lying to us then for the greater good, how do we know that you're not lying to us now for your greater good purpose? It's because your purpose is greater than you know, our lives are, apparently. It's the way you look at it. Don't just give us the information and let us decide. You have to make the decision for us because we're, you know, most of us were public school trained, I guess. That's the problem, apparently. They see the issue there. And this is the problem mostly with the leftists that I see, is that they have no faith in the American people. They have to tell the American people what to think, how to think. And really, they just want to tell you what to think because they don't want you to actually learn how to think. But they want to guide the narrative. They want to guide the thought process. They want to be your conscience. Because, you know, can't have people out there being independent. Actually looking at the numbers, the real statistics, and finding out what's really going on. Because then, oh my goodness, you might draw a different conclusion than what we're telling you. So, the number one killer in 2020 was, cardiac failure. It's questionable. There's some things that are kind of lumped in together, but basically cardiac failure or heart failure, cardiac arrest and heart failure, I guess is number one killer. Number two killer had to be COVID, right? Cancer. And that was people dying with cancer who didn't have COVID. Same thing with the heart thing. And that was even with people who happened to die of cancer or heart failure who had COVID, who were considered COVID deaths. And heart failure and cancer still won that race. Because you see, there was a difference between dying with COVID and dying from COVID, and Now, was it a contributing factor? Absolutely. Having a cold when you have a heart issue is dangerous. Can complicate the issue. Any kind of respiratory ailment, even having just allergies, an allergic reaction to something while you have an issue when you're vulnerable like that can expedite the death issue. The death issue, yeah. So it's... It was just interesting. It was interesting to hear this guy interview everybody, and almost everybody said COVID was the number one killer last year. Because that is the perception that we have. Because that's the influence of the media. And I don't think people would have... The eyes wide open kind of view of the media, or most people don't, you know, at least, if it wasn't for Trump just basically calling them out, calling them the fake news. I mean, you know, for what it's worth, you know, he's rude and brash and stuff, but you can't. He did it. I mean, he just called him right out. You can't fault him for that. You know, I mean, if the news media can, they don't like it. They don't like somebody pulling the curtain back all the time. And I think this whole pandemic thing really caught him off guard. I think he started listening to a bunch of advisors that were not giving him good advice on this thing. And I think that in the process, they had this one in their back pocket the whole 4 years. They said, we can't get him impeached. We'll try that a couple times. We'll try this. We'll try that. Every little thing he does, we're going to be on his case. We're going to call him out. We're going to try to get this guy. We're going to get his public opinion down. They had to destroy the economy. They knew that had to happen, and the best way to do this is the whole thing with the pandemic, and it had to be done about a year before the election. Because that's when it really matters. Now, we're coming up on another election cycle. Lots of things are going to be changing between now and December. Moving into January. And they're going to be setting up for the 2022 election cycle because they cannot afford to lose the House and possibly the Senate. And they know that potential is there, which is why they want H.R. 1 to go through. They want this voting rights thing to go through. Why would they want to change and put in impose these election rules from the top down, from a centralized position, which has never happened before, to do that? And then, because we had the greatest election ever, with the most people voting ever in the history of the country, with a president that got the most votes of anyone ever. 81 million votes this guy got. He's so popular. So that leads me to this. What's going on in Arizona? There is a panic right now on the left about what's going on in Arizona. They're having an audit. They have finally got this thing to go through. There was a last-minute, last-ditch effort on the part of the Democrats in Arizona to stop this thing. And so they even had a judge that basically stepped in and said, we're going to stop this. We're going to stop it. And tried to get it to shut down. Now, this is a major, major process here. This is like a task that boggles the mind. They're counting 2.5 million votes, I believe, over the next few weeks, couple weeks. They're hoping to get it done in 2 weeks, but it may take 3 weeks. They have two cameras set up at each counting station, and it's not just a counting of the ballot. The way I understand it, they're saying, anyway, it is supposed to be a what they call an audit, as well as, or a canvas, I guess is what it's called, where they actually check the data of each ballot to see if this thing is, to make sure that each vote is correct. And so they're going to go through this whole thing. And we'll, try to find out if it's what the numbers are. Now, I think Arizona was like 10 to 12,000 votes, I think, within that margin, I think, out of 2.5 million. I could probably look that up, and maybe I should while I'm talking here. Of course, my internet's slow. So the so this vote thing is going on. Now they're going to have actual security there, as well as state police. I believe that Trump has suggested that they have armed, or that they have National Guard come in and actually protect the area during this whole time. Because this is going to be, I don't know if it's going to be going on 24/7 or not. The reason it's going to take several weeks is because they have, they got all these different individuals there. They're counting every precinct, so it's not like you've got armies of people. But they're going to have this. They have this one large room. Everything is very secure. Now, I still have issues with this because if you're counting ballots that are illegitimate, how do you know they're illegitimate? I mean, it's that process of trying to legitimize whether or not the ballots legal or not, or whether or not it should have been counted or not, is still in question. Did they fake the ballots, and are you just counting fake ballots? Are there, and they're counting them by hand, not counting them by machine, which is good, and I'm glad somebody's at least looking over them. I think we've got a better chance of this. And it's all completely transparent. There's not going to have, cardboard boxes up over windows. They're not going to be, pushing out observers. This whole thing's going to be very, very much watched. Two cameras on the entire time, everything videoed at each counting station. So very transparent about what they're doing. and recording everything that they're doing, which is why it's going to take so long. Now, if this, can you imagine what's going to happen if this comes down to an issue? Which, it, you know, it may not, because, again, how do they verify whether or not a person's, are they going to call people if they're not sure if they're alive or dead, or if they're going to, if the addresses are correct? And that was one of the things that Steven Crowder was doing, is going around actually going to addresses that people had put down. It was creepy. I think it was at Nevada or Arizona, one of the states, I believe it was Arizona, where they were going around to these, different addresses, and they were showing you video of where they were, and the address that was on the, and there were hundreds and upon thousands of these addresses that they were going back, that were questionable. They were going to see what was, let's see here, finally came up here, margin. AZ election. Let's just put that in there. see what pops up. Probably nothing. So they have this. Where was I? There we go. Arizona election results, 2020. Capturing 16 or 602 Arizona results for 7. Blah 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 blah. Come on, just tell me the numbers. President Donald Trump fell far short of the margin he needed to capture Arizona's 11 electoral votes. Results released by Maricopa County officials Friday morning, Trump received 50.6% of the vote. That's weird. So it looks like it was a 2% here we go. this might give me the better. This is a report on several different states, but hopefully I can find it. So this Arizona thing, they call this transparency, and they've got the people who are going to really throw a tantrum about this is if the numbers are different, vastly different than what was originally counted, then we have a problem, especially if it turns out that Trump won. And the way they're jumping around and throwing tizzy fits at this point, it is quite telling, you know, why they would do that. Okay, here it is. This is finally. Oh, it just disappeared, of course. All right, so there were, holy wow. So in Arizona, there were 10,457 votes that Biden won by in that state. In Georgia, it was 12,670, sorry. In Michigan, it was 154,000, which is, believe it or not, that's extremely questionable because of an issue there. I was going to tell you about the rest of that story about Steven Crowder. believe it or not, that's that error or that number was only in two counties, where Biden basically made up all that difference in two counties in Michigan, which is really questionable. That's why that's such a big deal. And then we have Nevada. He won by 33,000 votes. Biden won by 33,000 votes. Pennsylvania, 81,000 votes. And if you look at these charts, you realize that there's a total number of votes in the states that... like in Pennsylvania, the margin, percentage wise, in Arizona especially, it was tiny, and uh, even even in Pennsylvania with 81,000 votes difference, that's a tiny margin compared to the number, because you have about four times more voters in Pennsylvania than you have in Nevada, almost twice as many than you had in Arizona, where it was, you know, it was 10,000 votes there. So a small margin. And then Wisconsin is 20,000 difference between the two. Now, and keep in mind, this sounds like a lot for the whole, well, that's a lot of people. That's what we're talking about here is basically eight counties. Eight counties within these six states that swung the election. And you kept hearing them run the mantra, no evidence of widespread voter fraud. How do you define widespread voter fraud? You know, I would say eight counties out of the, I had the number one time. I think it's 13,000 counties in the state, in the country. Not positive. Number sticks in my head for some reason. So how do you define that? Because what we're talking about is, you know, it's a subjective number here. So how do you do that? And they just kept repeating that mantra. Anytime anybody would say anything on national news, they would just constantly talk about that. So anyway, so Steven Crowder had this guy go out, one of his team, and they would go out and they would check out these places where these addresses were that they were trying to verify. And it would be like an empty field or an empty parking lot or a viaduct. Like no, or the address just simply did not exist on a street. It's like just a house number. Now here's what was really creepy about this. In the middle of the, he went back over some of the numbers. They were going back over some of the places that they had been. As they went back over them on the, now they took screenshots and got captures of all the stuff that they were finding online, the voter records. And in the process of doing that, they were combing back over some of the records to verify addresses. The addresses had been changed in the middle of the night. This is really creepy. Someone, whether it was officially done by someone who is in control or someone who just had access to the process, whether it was actually an official, an election official, or whether it was someone who was just behind the scenes, or maybe even a nefarious person from outside the country, whatever it was, they were paying attention and they were trying to correct the issues. Here's the problem. The problem was they went out to check the other address. That was also an issue. Several of those were even wrong addresses, and some of them were addresses that were copycats of other addresses. Some of them had multiple voters at one address, which is a little bit ridiculous, especially when that address has no house. Things like that. So yeah, so that's the kind of stuff that was going on, and this is why the numbers just don't make any sense. And so the election stuff is back in the news, and of course, what, you know, the question is, what's going to happen if it's not? And I unfortunately, you know, the apparently the Supreme Court doesn't think that it's important that they protect and uphold and defend the basis of our Constitution, which is individual rights, which is, you know, of course, the right to vote is not really, it's not really a guaranteed right in the Bill of Rights. When you got, you know, Nancy Pelosi standing up there talking about the temple of democracy, because she worships government is her god. Okay, let's just put it simply that way. It's just, for most of the leftists, they believe that government is the answer to our problems. Government will solve, you know, our evolution as a human race. The only cancer on this evolution organism is a certain skin color of gender that is evil. And we have to keep that narrative going. Has nothing to do with the content of your character anymore. It's not about that anymore. It's not about personal responsibility or the choices that you make and the consequences of those decisions. It's always someone else's fault. You're going to blame somebody else for the decisions that you've made. It's not because we're not on an equal playing field. Well, then let's work on the playing field. Let's not start vilifying people or protecting certain people with certain special protections. Let's make sure everybody has equal rights and equal protection. Let's work on that part of it. Much like I think we'd be much further along right now if we had nullified COVID by investing in therapeutics instead of investing in vaccines. We have thrown all of our hope and our all of our hope in getting out of this situation into the vaccination, the vaccine process. We're going to eradicate it with a vaccine. And instead of just making it, you know, an over-the-counter therapeutic. I got a little touch of COVID. I better take this. Let it run its thing and, this deals with the symptoms and we're done. Which they have actually made huge progress on therapeutics with this issue, with this virus. And my guess is that the therapeutics would have worked on anyone, even with variants, because the symptoms are basically the same. When you're dealing with a respiratory issue, why not come up with something that fights off the respiratory issue, respiratory symptoms, which is what kills most people, instead of this crazy vaccination process? Well, there's a few reasons why, you know, if you want to look at the big picture here as far as the pharmaceuticals and all those companies, they want to do this because there's a lot of money rolling right now. You know, there's trillions of dollars rolling around out there. Before they even passed a stimulus bill, they were paying out money to the pharmaceuticals to develop and do this vaccine thing. You've heard of Operation Warp Speed. Well, that had a budget. Operation Warp Speed wasn't just an idea. It was a budgeted bill that went through. And there was funding involved in that. And part of that funding was, you know, if a state said that there was had certain number of deaths, COVID deaths, you got a payoff for having to deal with that. Speaking of which, now right now at the current moment, Michigan is basically, again, still, I believe, the number one outbreak area. governor's doing a great job there, isn't she? Let's come into a close here because the show is running long again, as usual. The list of things that are going on in the world. Let me just run down through some of this stuff and why it's difficult almost in this process. And I think it's difficult for most people to kind of keep up with what's going on in the world. Because there's so much, and this is part of the Rules for Radicals agenda. They want to overwhelm the system, regardless of whether it's the news cycle or whether it's legislation or whatever it is. There's so much legislation right now being drawn up and pushed through because of the distractions that are going on. When was the last time you heard about anything on the border? It's such a confusing mess that we're not really sure what's going on at the border. You know, Carmella still hasn't gone down there yet. And I'm not sure it's even important. I don't know why there's such a big push about her going down there. The people on the right are saying, oh, she has to go down to the border. She's got to go down. What's she going to do? She's going to wear her cape and fly down there and do something that's, you know, what's she going to do? Going to pass out water? I mean, it's symbolic. I get that. It's a symbolic move of, we care about what's going on at the border. We're going to go down and look at. I don't think anything's going to change. If I were her, I would just go down there. Of course, I think in going down there, and then people can say, well, you saw it with your own eyes. What are you going to do about this? It's an atrocity. Because the pictures that I've seen, the things that the GOP has done to go down there and document some things has been absolutely atrocious. And I think they're trying to keep the media's eyes away because they literally have pushed the media out of most of the places that they're keeping the detention centers because of respect for the people who were there, which again is asinine. But that's the way they operate with this stuff. And so they want to keep the media attention. So if she goes down there, the media will be all over that. Apparently, they don't realize the media protects them completely. So that's not going to be a big deal. I don't understand why they even care. They can do whatever they want to, and the media gives them absolute immunity to anything. So, you know, the lamestream media. So you have the border. You have the riots going on in other states now because they're trying to come up with another George Floyd case. And they're feeling very empowered and emboldened by what they've just achieved through violent protest. So they're not going to slow down with that. And they've said they're not going to slow down. So you have that going on. So you have the border, the riots, the racial issues, the racial tensions. You have COVID still becoming an issue, still wanting people to be clamped down, locked down, muzzled. You have a lot of issues going on in the world that are, you know, you have the funding, the stock market issues, which I don't know that really affect anybody's day-to-day life that much, but then you have the issues of the value of the dollar, which are building up like a tidal wave tsunami that we're not really paying attention to. You have all the legislation that's going through in terms with regard to gun control, voter rights, special protected rights. You got, what else is there? There's a whole bunch of other legislation going through right now. Can't even think of half of what it is. By design, that's the way they want it. Then on top of all that, as if that wasn't enough, the outside of the our nation's borders, you have the Ukraine issue. Now, supposedly Putin is pulling back his troops. Supposedly. This is a ruse. This is a tactic. I do not trust a move like this. Oh, look, we're pulling our troops out. This has been used by military time and time again. Let's say they had 20,000 troops there along the border as a normal number. They move in 80,000 troops. Next thing you know, they have 150,000 troops. Then they start pulling troops out. Slowly. They bring the number back down to 60 or 80 or even 40. They just doubled the number of troops on the border. And we feel good about it because they back down. It's an optical illusion. And this is where you need to pay very close attention to what they're doing there. Same thing with China and Taiwan. China is becoming, they're saber-rattling, they're more than saber-rattling. They've pulled their swords out and they're kind of waving them around in the sky now. Flying bombers, they're fighters actually, over right over the country several times, 20 of them at a time. We have, again, we have feckless leadership in the White House, and it's just not... They know that more than anybody. And I heard an interesting thing this morning about how when you start to vilify, when you just start talking about Asian persecution in this country, Asians are being, there's a lot of Asian discrimination, Asian persecution going on right now. Let's talk about the people group, the ethnic group that is committing these Asian crimes against Asians. Well, we can't talk about that. We just have to make it sound like it's just the racial bigotry that is so prevalent in this country that, of course, China turns back on our faces. And when we start talking about the Uyghurs, they start talking about you guys have, you have all kinds of racial issues in you have all kinds of civil rights issues in your country. They use that against us. So we can't pin them down on anything that's actually happening with genocide in their country. So then, so we have these issues. And this in a sense, buffers and protects China in a lot of different ways. Because now if you say anything about China and the Wuhan virus, because it's from China, if you say anything about it, now you're a bigot. Somehow that makes you a bigot. I don't know. Because you say a virus came from a country, that makes you a bigot. Because it came from that country. Now, you can argue about the lab and who funded it and whose fault it was. And all the conspiracies surrounding that, which I happen to think are more than coincidental. There's something going on there that we're not being told the whole story there again. When the guy standing up in front of everybody telling everybody to wear a mask or not to wear a mask and what to do and when we can open back up again and maybe we can have dinner with, some close friends for 4th of July this year. When that guy is heavily, heavily invested in the Wuhan lab, has patents on this virus. And this is no joke, folks. This is real stuff. Has who knows how many background, back under the table deals going on where money's being passed back and forth with the pharmaceutical companies. Johnson & Johnson's going to pause. They're going to have to pause. There's going to be a pause. When they fall in line again, we'll let them back in. We'll let him open back up again. He's pretending like he has nothing to do with it. He thinks he's the smartest man in the room. Everywhere he goes, he thinks he's the smartest man in the room. He thinks he's in control of the country and he's bamboozled everybody. He doesn't understand why people don't like him. Yeah, so we got that going on. So we got the COVID thing going on. Immigration, COVID, racial tensions, Ukraine, Taiwan. and something that nobody is talking about. The energy sector. The energy sector is in a buffered lull right now. And I don't know how to explain this other than to say that. We are about to see, what we're seeing is a directional turn. It's kind of like the tide has come in. There's this ebb tide where it looks like nothing's going on. And then the tide starts to roll out. Every wave that comes in is a little bit lower than the last. And that's where we're going right now. It's like the apex. And it's just a matter of now starting to just descend. This thing, the energy sector is a very large boat, has a very small rudder, and it's taking a turn now. The rudder's been adjusted, just haven't seen the effects yet of what's going on. So there's that. And there's the financial markets and everything that's going on there. So I digress. It's been about an hour. We're into this, believe it or not, how time flies when you don't have commercials. So I just want to say, start of the week. We are at the top of the week, April 26th at 9:17. My dogs are barking. Not sure what's going on up there. Some kind of craziness. And I need to go up and see what's going on. The cat could be involved. Not exactly sure. But I'm going to go find out. Because that's my job. To find out what the dogs are doing. God bless everybody. Hopefully, you continue to keep our nation in prayer, our leaders in prayer, and those who are fighting against this in real ways. Not just what's politically expedient, but real truth tellers. Folks that are really out there. People like Jim Jordan. I even think Ted Cruz and some others are really, really trying to push back in real ways. And just pray for them to have some moral fortitude. Continue to go with us, as we all need to have. Once again, thanks everybody for listening. Have a great day. God bless. Shabbat shalom.